You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble! It's the Left Coast Gamblers, and it is the conference championship weekend. And yours truly, Tony Cavallo, is here in studio, as always, with Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, and Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston. Four teams remain, 2 games left to decide who makes it to the Super Bowl in the NFL's century year, and we have a hell of a show for you guys today. We have a San Fran fan calling in to talk about his one seed going up against my Green Bay Packers, and for the Tennessee and Kansas City matchup, a great matchup, 6 seed versus a 2 seed. We brought in the biggest guest this show has ever had
ever
in the 4 years of existence.
It's a heavyweight.
2-time Super Bowl winner.
Two times.
Mr. Ike Taylor calling in right after this segment. But first, guys, we're going to intro this show a little bit because I want to talk about something that is going to change the NFL next year. The national championship for college football just happened. LSU beat the pants off of Clemson behind the Heisman winner, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, undeniably the number one pick, going to the Cincinnati Bengals. And guys, I haven't watched a lot of college football in my lifetime, but I always watch the big games because I want to see who's going to play at the next level. This Burrow kid, my goodness, what the hell is going on? He is unbelievable.
You know what I did on Monday night. I was going to say Saturday.
Monday night, yeah.
Monday night. I waited correctly for a halftime line that I liked.
Yeah.
I was all over Clemson in the second half money line. I thought they'd make it a game.
Nope.
I predicted it. I bet against Mr. Burrow, and like I like to say, light my money on fire and watch it go away. The dude's a stud.
He's unbelievable.
The dude's a winner. He's a coach's kid. He really has a cerebral sense to him where he doesn't even really wow you athletically, and then you see him take off for a 30-yard scramble.
Yeah.
He's tougher than shit.
Yeah.
He's a competitor.
He's bigger than you think, too.
He's not afraid of contact, and he is the most accurate passer to come out of college in a long time.
It's unbelievable.
The Bengals, like manna from heaven, have fallen this opportunity. You just pray that they don't fuck this up.
I know.
Because they obviously are going to take him, but as we know, Tony and Dangles, we know that so many teams ruin good quarterbacks.
Yep.
It's not necessarily the quarterback's fault they don't develop. It's the teams. But my God.
That worries me about Cincy,
absolutely.
I'll tell you what.
It should worry you. Well, I mean, what an opportunity the Bengals have. What a superstar in Joe Burrow.
I will say this. The Bengals were obviously the worst team in the league this year. I predicted correctly, made a lot of money off of that. Andy Dalton's no longer going to be there. It's going to be Burrow the Bengal in the future. Zach Taylor, though, in his first year head coaching, he made a lot of mistakes, but that offense was not as bad as the team was. He actually had good schemes. Joe Mixon got going. He actually has players around him to make an effort next year. In my opinion, Burrow the Bengal is going to change that team drastically. I don't think they're going to ruin him. I think they're going to be very successful, and this is not the show for hot takes. We are not sitting here. We're not trying to be Stephen A. Smith and going crazy and getting tweets about the stupid shit we say, but this is what I truly think.
Yeah.
I think the Bengals are in this AFC championship in the next 3 years with Burrow. That's how good I think he is. I think he is a game changer. He is Baker Mayfield's,
that's a big leap.
He is Baker Mayfield's mentality and competitiveness mixed with Andrew Luck's skill set. He is unbelievable.
I think that's a comparison there, right? Andrew Luck comes in to a team. Now, clearly they had some success with Peyton in the years prior, but Andrew Luck made that team a contender in 2 years.
Immediately.
Exactly.
Immediately.
And I think that's a good comp.
I really think the Bengals are going to be a playoff team in the next few years because of this Burrow kid. I think that's how good he is. Dangles, I know you wanted to say something about one of our favorite players in the NFL. Luke Kuechly announced his retirement this week. Carolina Panthers faithful. We have a lot of Carolina Panthers fans that listen to this show. Luke Kuechly, Boston College product, is not playing anymore after 8 seasons. He's had a lot of injuries, especially in the concussion world. Dangles, you want to say anything to your boy Luke as he exits
my
the
boy
NFL?
Luke. Well, I texted our friend TJ, our senior NBA correspondent TJ Wortham, right away, and I don't know if maybe he was probably busy. He just texted me back, good for him.
Yeah.
Which I think is, I feel that way as well. It's always sad to see a young guy. He's 28 years old. Dude got drafted in 2012. He was Defensive Player of the Year in 2013.
And Rookie of the Year.
And Rookie of the Year his first year. I mean, this is a guy who's a young face of the NFL, arguably the best, one of the best in his position in the league. On the one hand, I completely appreciate the reasons why he did it and understand how hard it was. I watched the video. I'm sure all of you, those of you who watched the video saw that it was clearly a difficult decision, as it was for Gronk, as it was for Andrew Luck. All these other young faces we've seen step away from the game. I hope it doesn't hurt, other kids that want to come up and play when they see these guys walking out after, 8 years, which isn't a short career by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not a terribly long career. Hopefully, as Marshawn Lynch said, Kuechly, and I'm sure he did, took care of his bread. Yeah. He's got himself taken care of that chicken for the rest of his life. You got to take care of that chicken. I love, by the way, that Marshawn Lynch made that comment afterward. That's great. But just sad to see him go because he's a great, fun guy to watch and just another, young face of the NFL walking away. Because I'm sure in part because of concerns about injury.
Yeah.
You know what starts to really kind of get my attention, guys, in all this? Andrew Luck, Luke Kuechly, Rob Gronkowski. All of them are younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And, as a guy in his early 30s, I don't play football. I try to work out a little bit. I just can't fathom being that young
and
making that decision.
All of us.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. And you just know what their bodies go through, it translates to between the years, right?
Yeah.
There's no doubt. It's proven. And I actually applaud them for making that decision. That can't be an easy thing to do.
So hard.
And they're just doing what they simply think is best for their brains and their bodies. So, shame on people that, but it is alarming, Dangles, and I agree. I'm curious to see the next generation coming up.
He'll be a great coach.
He'll be a fantastic coach.
I hope he stays around the game. He'd be a great college coach. He's a leader of men, either at the pro level or the college level. I think he'd be great.
But again, guys, these guys aren't walking away because they've had, devastating injuries or they can't. They're tearing their ACLs 4 times. Like, they're at the prime of their careers, the pinnacle of their athleticism, and the peak of, their contract money-making years, and they're walking from it. So.
Yep.
Something's obviously, they're not in the wrong for making that decision.
No, not at all. No.
I feel like we're going to see it happen more and more often. We're going to see a lot less guys like Hall of Fame finalist Zach Thomas, who played until he couldn't play anymore, like physically couldn't play anymore. He just kept on going to team after team, and then Kuechly leaving at the end of his prime, so to speak, because he is scared of the injuries he has already suffered. I applaud him as well, and the reason I applaud him and I didn't applaud Andrew Luck is because Luke Kuechly did it at the right time. He played the full season. He did what he could to help his team, and then he said, I cannot do it anymore. Andrew Luck quitting 2 days before the season begins, it still boggles my mind that that decision was made at that time. But goodbye, Luke. You were one of my favorites to watch out there, and I'm sad to see you go, but good on you for getting out when the getting's good, so to speak.
Yep, yep.
Interesting times in Carolina, man. Interesting.
Well, now,
Carolina.
They're essentially, this team is looking at a full-on rebuild, right? Like, and look, you've got a guy in Matt Rhule, who has already built 2 football programs from the ground up in Temple and Baylor. Obviously, no easy task the way that Art Briles exited Waco and having to come in and clean that mess up.
Yep.
But he's done it twice at the college level. Now, that doesn't always translate into the NFL, as we've seen with guys like Nick Saban.
Yep.
But you have to have confidence, I guess, in him. If you're a Panthers fan here sitting going, well, my team is now officially in full rebuild mode.
And, guys, they got their guy. They got the glass slipper, and Mr. Joe Brady, who, by all accounts, helped immensely Mr. Joe Burrow's season this year in that passing attack and that LSU offense. And they got him. They went out and they got him. I'm impressed. That was actually my first impression of Rhule, was, man, he wanted him. He went and got him. It wasn't easy. And if I was a Panthers fan, friend of the program, TJ Wortham, I would be very, very optimistic.
I don't know, man.
Because you're not paying him the money, right? Fuck it. You're not paying him the $20 million a year or whatever.
They still don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Now, Kuechly leaves the captain of the defense. Going to be interesting times for Carolina next year. But let's not talk about the teams that are out of it. Let's start to talk about the teams that are still in it. 4 teams remain. As we said in the beginning, we have Ike Taylor calling in to break down the Tennessee-Kansas City matchup. That's going to come up next. But first, sadly, once again, I got to do a word from our sponsor. God damn it, Jersey Allen. Why'd we have to lose to him three straight times in the King of the Coast? Pick him, Dangles.
Some of them tied. One of us tied him.
Wasn't me. I did.
Wasn't me.
I did.
Well, you know, tie goes to the runner.
Anyway, here's touching base.
Are you a true American like me? Do you wake up and wonder, when will the next MLB season begin? Do you sit anxiously by the dinner table waiting for the hot stove to serve up some juicy deals? Do you have season tickets to your hometown team's AA affiliate? If that sounds familiar, then boy, do I have a podcast for you. Touching Base with Alan and Eric is the nation's premier MLB podcast, dishing all the necessary news you need and the go-to guide for all 162 glorious games. And unlike today's version, this podcast only has one true outcome: pleasure. So when you're out at the bar, don't
strike out
talking ball with your boys, but rather hit a
home run
with the facts by listening to Touching Base with Alan and Eric, available on SoundCloud and Instagram. That's Touching Base with Alan and Eric, the five-tool podcast prospect that every scout needs.
Hey, now, Beto, come on now.
All
kid.
Right,
what
here we go,
Twos.
Here
on,
we go,
Twos.
Left Coasters.
Hey, this is Dangles from the Left Coast Gamblers. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We are available on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, please leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars if you like what you hear. 5 seconds of your time is 5 new listeners for us. You can also find us on Twitter at Left Coasters Pod and on Instagram and Facebook by searching the Left Coast Gamblers. And we hope you'll check out our pages each week for new contests, live tweeting and posting on NFL Sundays, behind-the-scenes content, and more ways to engage with the show and make you money. And as always, thank you for listening.
All right, folks, as I said in the intro, these games this weekend are so juicy, they're so big that we could not break them down alone. We have a San Fran fan calling in for the NFC Championship, but for the AFC Championship, we have a guy who has been there before. Drafted out of the 4th round in 2003 of the NFL draft by the Pittsburgh Steelers, out of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this raging Cajun took his horse by the reins, making wide receivers redder with bloodstains for 12 straight seasons. He is a two-time Super Bowl winner. And he wore my favorite number for a shutdown corner. So please welcome to the show number 24, Mr. Swaggin' Ike Taylor. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, I like the intro.
We had to do it for you, man. We had to do it right. You know that.
All right, Ike. I have to say, before we go into these games, this past weekend, your former coach, Bill Cowher, got his gold jacket on national TV. My man, what was your reaction when you saw that happen?
I instantly tweeted, "Congrats, Coach Kyle." For me, I feel like Coach Kyle was the ultimate player's coach, hard on his coaches and the people who worked for him under him. But as far as like being just a player's coach, for me, I feel like I've been very fortunate between him, Coach LeBeau, and Mike Tomlin, or just playing for some player's coaches, you know. So Coach Kyle, you know, he's actually from the city of Pittsburgh, got the coach for the city of Pittsburgh, won a Super Bowl in the city of Pittsburgh. Now he's in the Hall of Fame under the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, it's like a story that you were right when you're small, just thinking and dreaming about that. But to see Coach Kyle actually, you know, go through that and get in the Hall of Fame, man, it's just something good for him. But let alone, man, I'm just looking at all the Hall of Famers I think I played with, let alone the coaching staff between Coach LeBeau, now Coach Kyle.
Absolutely, yeah. Troy might get in this year, too. It's a hell of a team you guys had.
Yeah, it really is. And I wanted to ask about that because, I listened to an interview you did last year with Barstool, and you talked about this sort of, you can't tell us nothing, us against the world mentality of that 2005 Super Bowl defense. Sort of looking ahead to this weekend's games, do you see that same mentality in any of the teams going into any of these matchups? I kind of feel like you could maybe make the argument for the 49ers, maybe even Titans offense, just like teams that you don't want to play right now. Offenses didn't want to play you guys in 2005.
Yeah, they didn't want players. Well, they wanted the players till they actually played us.
Yeah.
You know, we was a wild card team in 2005, and I'm looking at the Tennessee Titans like I didn't see in the story before. So I had the Tennessee Titans, you know, beating the New England Patriots. Everybody thought I was crazy. I had the Tennessee Titans beating the Ravens, and everybody thought I was crazy. But I'm like, I seen this story before because they have a playoff football team, which is running the ball, controlling the clock, and playing good defense, which is not too popular in the regular season, you know.
Yeah.
For
sure.
Everybody in the new generation going on fantasy points and just having guys in fantasy, you know, you always go for the high power offense. Other than the Kansas City Chiefs on what they did last week, putting up 51 points, this playoff has been low scoring. And that's just a recipe for playoff in general. And just to see Coach Mike Vrabel, what he's been doing with the Tennessee Titans, he's been doing this the whole year. It's been ugly. It hasn't been pretty. But he understood just going through and winning Super Bowls, what it took to get to the playoffs, let alone when you get to the playoffs on what you need to do. You need to run the ball, control the clock, and play good defense. Now, we've been talking about King Henry, Derrick Henry for a long time, but their defense has been stout. Their defense has been taking on Coach Vrabel's attitude, and that's hard-nosed, smash-mouth kind of defense. You're going to earn every yard. So between the Tennessee Titans and the San Francisco 49ers, I wouldn't be surprised if the Tennessee beat KC, but at the same time, when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes and what he can do and how talented he is and the energy and the vibe and the talent he brings to KC, I get it. But at the same time, you know, just listening to some former Ravens defenders, you know, saying, you know, they – Derrick Henry having faith in defense like theirs.
Yeah.
And for Derrick just to show, you know, what he can do. I mean, he's having a historical playoff so far as a running back. And that's just the personality of Mike Vrabel. But if you just look at Tennessee when they played KC the first time, you know, they beat them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not like it's not possible for Tennessee to beat them. It's just, we just getting all as fans and just look at Patrick Mahomes and every Lambo Ferrari have in his garage, from Tyreek Hill to Johnson to his running back to even, you know, like the Ford truck in Travis Kelce. So,
yeah.
But it works to a certain extent. And I don't think we give it, other than San Fran defense, Tennessee defense, enough credit. Don't forget, Houston ran the ball. I think it was 4.4 yards per carry. But then they got like Atlanta when they played the New England Patriots. They wanted to have a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, and you can't do that.
No, you can't. And that's what Tennessee has to do. That it's going to be King Henry or bust. And you guys played a team similar to that in the Super Bowl XL against Seattle. You were facing off against Sean Alexander, the MVP of the league that year, ran all over the place all regular season, only had 90 yards against you guys. So did you guys and Dick LeBeau sort of focus your energy on stopping the run? Is that something Kansas City can try to do themselves?
You know, stopping the run is a want to. You know, stopping the run is, you know, we had guys who wanted to stop the run first and get to the quarterback second.
Mm-hmm.
For KC, they want to get to the quarterback first. And the reason why they want to get to the quarterback first is because usually they're ahead first. So when you're ahead and you're up 14-3 or 14-7, a defensive coordinator can kind of pin their ears back and let the defensive ends just get and rush the quarterback. But now when you have to really stop the run, you got guys who are trying to rush the quarterback, and they're usually light body guys at the defensive end position.
Yeah.
So now you get an extra tight end, you get an extra offensive lineman, you get two tight ends that's really all sold out on blocking you and not worrying about catching passes like the Tennessee Titans. Now, instead of going to get the quarterback, now you got to stop the run. It's something you usually don't do.
Yep.
So that's why usually when KC lose, they play teams who really stick to the running game, the running game. And we all seen throughout the last 2 weeks what Tennessee like to do.
Yep.
I don't care what the score is, we going to stick to the running game. In the playoffs, you only get a few possessions.
Ike, I want to talk about playoff preparation versus regular season preparation. In your playing experience, you know, it's obviously the stakes are the highest possible in the playoffs. Are practices more intense, or are they more, you know, relaxed? Are film sessions?
Oh, man, the level is so different, man. We were so competitive. We were such a brotherhood.
Right.
We competed at everything, whether it was flip the coin to the corner, whether it was playing FIFA, whether it was playing Call of Duty, whether you was playing cars. Like Coach Cower had her environment to where you compete at everything. And fighting was cool.
Yeah.
Like, fighting at training camp was cool. Fighting in practice was cool because when you just surround yourself with all alphas.
Yeah.
So the guys who wasn't alpha, you had to, at some point in time, be an alpha, not only on the field, but in the locker room and off the field. That's the environment Coach Kyle had created with us. So then that became a brotherhood. So then that became a us against the world mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I remember clearly we lost to the Colts when they were super hot, when they had Peyton, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harris, Dallas Clark, Jeff Saturday, Edgerrin James. They was on fire. They had a loaded team.
Yeah.
And we lost. And Coach Kyle, after that loss, he said clearly in that locker room in Indy, oh, we're going to be back, and we're going to be back for the playoffs, and we're going to beat them in the playoffs.
Mm.
Those were his exact words. And we was like, I can't curse, but we was like, you goddamn right. Like, that's how he felt, but that's the confidence he kind of instilled in us. So that's our run was Cincinnati when they had Carson Palmer, Rudy Johnson, RIP, Chris Henry, TJ Ocho, beat them. Then we had to go to Denver with Jake Plummer and company at Mile High Stadium and beat them. Then we had to go to the Colts when they was on fire with Peyton Manning and company and beat them. Then we had to win the Super Bowl and go against a high-powered Seattle team. So we was against all odds every game. And by the way, we played the teams I just named, they were top five in offense at that time.
That's awesome.
So I'm looking at Tennessee like, dang, they trying to – they comparing it to like it's impossible. But every 10 to 15 years, this the kind of story that is written.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Tennessee like an 05 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mike Vrabel's about to lose his junk. If if he makes good on that promise he made at the beginning of the year, that's man, he's gonna have a rough offseason.
Well, Ike, speaking of that, you know, speaking of that mentality, like it sounds like, did you prefer to play on the road in the playoffs, like the us versus me mentality, just go out and compete, or did you rather have that home crowd behind you?
Our motto was pick a time, pick a place, we're gonna smoke you and your family. That was our motto in 2005. Pick a time. It didn't matter whether we was playing street ball. It didn't matter who was playing in the big stadium. It didn't matter who was playing in the jungle. Pick a time. Pick a place. We're going to smoke y'all.
I love that.
And if we feel like if it gets down to fighting, we're going to smoke y'all in that too.
I love that. I love hearing that mindset too, because this week it's 6-seed Tennessee at 2-seed Kansas City. And all of your three AFC championships where you guys won, you were the 6-seed in 05, but in 2008 and 2010, you guys were the 2-seed hosting a 6-seed Baltimore and a 6-seed New York Jets. That mindset when you're at home, though, when you have to protect your turf, is there a little bit of trepidation there? You're hoping the 6-seed doesn't come out and punch you in the mouth? Or do you guys try to step on the gas earlier?
So then you change your mind. When you become a top seed, you change your mindset into, and the mindset was, somebody's coming to rob you in your house. How you going to defend it?
Yeah.
So then it becomes at all costs. Like somebody getting smoked at all costs. So it go from us against the world in 2005 and 2008 and 2009. It was like, okay, we smoking people, whoever trying to rob us, and come to our house and take whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, mentally, you just change the mindset as a head coach. But at the same time, when he give you that mindset, you're like, okay, so it's us against the world. Then it goes to somebody trying to rob and take whatever we have that we earn, our hard-earned money in the house. We ain't letting that slide. So that's the mentality we had in Pittsburgh, man. It was a brutal mentality, and it was us versus you at any means necessary.
I love that. I love that. All right, let's get down to the actual game, man. We're going to have to ask you to make a pick here. 6-seed Tennessee at Kansas City. Who wins this game?
I'm rocking with Tennessee.
I love it. Yeah, yeah. I love it.
I like it.
Last question before we let you go. We ask this to every player that comes on the show. You've listened to our voices, three, you know, middle-aged white dudes just hitting here a little bit pudgy. You used to return kicks in your early years at Pittsburgh, so let's have a hypothetical here. You get the ball on an open field on a kickoff. The three of us are coming at you. Do we have a chance at tackling you?
You ain't got a chance in hell.
That's a good bet. That's a good bet.
All right, thank you for calling in, my friend. Happy to have you.
I appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks a lot, Ike.
Thank you very much. Left
Coasters. All right, and we are back now to break down the San Fran Green Bay game with help from a friend. We went from a two-time Super Bowl winner to a man who watched a few Super Bowls in his time, I guess. Drew, he's your buddy. You want to give a little intro for our new guest?
Absolutely. So this is my great friend slash golfing buddy slash audition coach slash fellow Michigan football fan that we like to torture ourselves year in and year out. But he has the luxury of cheering for a damn good NFL team this year, the San Francisco 49ers. So I'd like to welcome to the show. He's got a great voice, Mr. Aaron Pont. Thank you, Mr. Pont.
Thank you for having me, guys. Very excited.
I'm excited too, my man.
I'm bringing in a little fact, something you guys may not know. This really only the 49er faithful know about this.
Ooh.
But the 49ers could have drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God. Did you know this, Tony?
I heard that. It's been a while since I heard that.
I just like to bring good facts.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we are a gambling show. We do run off statistics. You're talking to Schaefer the Sharp, so I'm going to store that one away for later. But, Aaron, just tell us your feeling, man. Obviously, you had some success during the Harbaugh days and then some desert of just horrible.
Tim Sula.
That wasn't very good.
He had a hilarious face.
And now you're here, man. You're in the NFC Championship with the handsome Jimmy G and the monster George Kittle. What is your just general feeling, dude?
Honestly, it's kind of luck. Although I really like our backup, Nick Mullins, backup quarterback. We got Garoppolo somehow, some weird trade. And had he not hurt his knee last year, we don't get Bosa.
Yep.
And those two things, they're, I think, our two best players.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
Absolutely.
So, and then obviously we're really well coached, and they bring in really good guys. It's a great locker room. So when Akello Witherspoon got burnt for the touchdown against Minnesota, he got pulled for Emmanuel Mosley. And I don't know if you guys know, he then went to the special teams coordinator and asked for Mosley's snaps on special teams so he could put – Mosley could put all his energy on defense.
That's selfless right there. You love to hear that when you're a fan of that.
That's like
team.
Remember the Titans shit right there.
That is Remember the Titans shit. My man, Aaron, before we get into the actual game, I want to know a little bit about your fan faithful. All the fans we've had call in, we've asked them about how they first became a fan, how long they became a fan. Do you have any childhood stories about your 49ers?
I grew up lifelong 49er fan. I was also a New England Patriot fan. Huh. It was a weird thing because Daryl Stingley, who was a Patriot, broke his neck in Oakland, and my father was his neurosurgeon. So the old Sullivan family that owned the Patriots were wonderful with us, and we met all the great old Patriots. But I was always a religious Niner fan. But when I went to school back east and I met New York Giants fans, that's when I really became a 49er fan.
Because
they were so – Jerry Rice fucking sucked. Sorry, Mrs. Crutzen. And be like, no, Jerry Rice doesn't suck. But we've had some good years and we've had some bad years, you know. But we're strong, proud franchise.
Well, you've been a thorn in my Green Bay side. I am the Packer fan here for a long, long time. Back to when Jerry Rice, the year before they had instant replay, fumbled the ball before Terrell Owens caught it in the end zone from your boy Steve Young. Still pains me to this day that existed.
I don't know if he fumbled that. I thought he got that.
He fumbled that ball.
He may not have been down yet.
He fumbled that ball. But again, San Fran's been a thorn in my side, and you've already beaten us this regular season. You beat us by a boatload. Aaron Rodgers couldn't do anything. Obviously, it's been 2 months since then. The Packers haven't lost a game since then. They're coming in hot, but they win these games ugly. Are you worried that Green Bay might be able to chop it up a little bit and try to make this game in their favor, time of possession, try to make you guys make mistakes? Do you think San Fran has the power to do it again just like they did in the regular season?
So I'm actually throwing out the regular season game.
As you should.
I don't care about it. I don't see, and I'm really not trying to be a homer, I don't see what you guys can do to beat us.
Well,
we outcoach you. We outplay you. We're more physical. We have better schemes. You guys have two great players, three great players, Devonta Adams, Aaron Jones, and obviously Rodgers. And you're not going to be able. I don't see how Green Bay can run the ball.
You don't think there's any chance whatsoever that you just that the defense, the secondary in San Fran just gets Rodgers'd in some way. I mean, the dude, you know, he can huck it. I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's a way it's going to happen. You know, I feel like
we don't have to blitz to get home. And I think what everyone's really missing when we played you guys the first time.
Oh, I'm not a Packer.
You were without Joe Staley, D. Ford. And Quan Alexander.
Yep.
And now D. Ford brings all that speed. And, you know, we had one sack each week for like the last eight games. And then last week we had six sacks because D. Ford is back.
Now, turning it around, Jimmy Garoppolo on his side, he got to do whatever he wanted in that regular season game. But this defense in Green Bay has stepped up. The two Smiths made, I mean, come on. They took Russell Wilson and took him down. And Russell Wilson had to do whatever he could to keep them in that game. Now, does that side of the ball worry you at all? Because Jimmy G, to me, looked a little bit nervous in those first few throws in San Fran. It's even more pressure in the championship game. Do you think Jimmy G and that offense make some mistakes, or do you think they run train like normal?
So I know you guys like to gamble, and the bet is half an interception over under for Jimmy G, and I think it's over. He does make a bad throw a game. It's inexcusable. Yep. He's gotten better about fumbling the ball, knock on wood. So, your defense is really good. But I think, you know, last week we abandoned the pass because we didn't have to.
Yeah.
And so I think he's better once he turns the ball over statistically. And I think Shanahan really adapts to what the defense gives us. And if he can throw, we're going to throw.
Yeah, Shanahan's great. Shanahan scares the shit out of me in this game. He is so much smarter than anyone I have. I mean, I hate Mike Pettine as a defensive coordinator, and Shanahan gives me the willies. He's a scary play caller.
Well, I think
they don't like each other, apparently.
No, they do not.
In the days in Cleveland.
I think the one thing that the 49ers won't be able to do, like they did against the Vikings, we've seen plenty of Michigan football together, Pont, is, you know, the Vikings defensive line looked like they were on roller skates last week.
Totally. Yep.
Dalvin Cook just was completely taken out of the game. Now, Jones in their first matchup didn't do much, and Rodgers statistically had literally his worst performance of his career.
Yep.
Went 20 for 33, 104 yards, a touchdown, and a fumble, and 0 for 13 on third down.
Yep.
That doesn't seem possible. So clearly there's going to be some regression to the mean there. There's no way he's going to duplicate that performance. However, I think the X factor in this game is your boy and all of San Francisco's boy, Mr. George Kittle, who obviously was kind of quiet last week, but we saw the impact Kelce could have on a team. The Packers have been, you know, problematic against tight ends all year. I just think Kittle gets out and has a monster game. As a 49ers fan, what is your feeling on your boy GK?
So I think last week, did he have three catches? So almost not used at all. He's the heart and soul of the offense. Like, the offense doesn't move without him. And I think he's going to have a big game. I think we ran so much last week that's all anyone's talking about, and we're going to come out passing.
I mean, he makes such an impact in the run game, though, too. I mean, you read about how he asks for offensive play calls I saw a video of him on YouTube, today, actually. I was watching him, he's pushing like Everson Griffin around, going, I'm giving out rides all day long. Like, this dude loves to block.
And Deebo Samuel, don't sleep on him. A reverse. I also think we haven't seen a lot of our offense. because they went a lot of vanilla schemes. We didn't have to play a lot against the Vikings as far as schemes.
Yeah.
We were really vanilla. Only the last Seahawk game did we see a lot of plays, and Jimmy G was great. And I love that that game was actually a practice playoff game, which you don't really get that often.
Yeah, definitely.
It was. It was one of those games where even though the score wasn't necessarily a blowout, they just had complete control the entire game, never really were in threat to lose it. So that does go for you. We always like
the
to tell-
1-inch.
Yeah. We always like to ask people, because we're fanatics, as you know, what's your plan for Sunday, my friend?
Well, I thought I cursed my team because I got a new shirt and hat about 3 weeks ago, and so I was fully expecting to lose every game, but we're 2-0 with me wearing those. So I'm going to get up and watch the first game and then start drinking and watch my game in my apartment. Just, I can't go out. I can't watch with people.
I feel you. I was out last week for my birthday to watch the Seahawks-Packers game, and I think the waitress thought I was a crazy person.
Yeah.
It was not a good experience. This week will be a little bit different. I'm happy to be there, man. The 2-seed Green Bay Packers with a first-year head coach. I'm happy to be there. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. Before we get down to you making a pick and maybe making a gamble on this game, we've talked about the game sort of overview. Pinpoint the key matchup for this game. Who versus who, and why is that going to decide who wins?
I think it's our front four, front seven stopping Aaron Jones. And once we take your run away and force Rodgers to throw, which is as scary as that sounds, forcing Aaron Rodgers to throw, and our defense can just tee off, I think that's really where it's going to be.
That's fair.
It's going to be interesting.
That's fair.
It's going to be interesting.
For as good as Devontae Adams is, and he's damn good, the other receiving corps is just embarrassing right now for
the
Packers.
There's no one. And Jimmy Graham, I know, had a really nice game against the Seahawks, but we're number one in the league at shutting down tight ends.
Tony said Jimmy Graham is a walking plague. He's not a fan of the veteran tight end.
He played a hell of a game against his old team, the Seahawks. I'm just not a fan of how much money we pay him to get three catches a game. But hey, he made those catches important. But you guys are right. Your linebackers are so much better than Jimmy Graham. You're going to be taking him out of the game. I know as a Green Bay faithful, Devontae Adams is going to show up. He always does. But let's make a bet on this game, my man. You got all the money in the world to spend in this game. You want to take any side on this, any over or anything in the AFC Championship game? Because we're trying to make our listeners money.
I wanted a couple things. Just one stat I heard that I thought was really interesting.
You already told us Aaron Rodgers could have been drafted by the Niners.
This one's actual factual. The Niners had 46 defensive snaps last week. The starters played about 35 of them. Green Bay had 64, and the starters played most of them.
Yep.
Interesting.
So I'm just curious if you guys are tired. So here's what I like gambling. I like Aaron Jones under 64.5.
Wow.
Ooh, the prop. I like it.
I like Jimmy G over 1.5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I love us. -7.5, 49ers -7.
And he's given the hook. Rodgers, only been a touchdown underdog two times in his career. He's covered both of those times. This comes from a man that is confident in his team. I like it, buddy. I like it.
Hey, I'm confident,
but they've
too,
not
baby.
Had two good trips out west.
That's true. That's
nope,
true.
And he does not like playing in the stadium. I will say, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your fandom. NFC Championship game. It's the final four, man. We have a hell of a game to come up. The Left Coast Gamblers are going to be breaking down the two games next, the only way we know how. But thank you, Aaron, for calling in. I'm happy to have you here, my man.
Thank you, guys. Big fan of the show, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck, everyone. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Left Coasters.
All right, boys, it's time for us to break down these games. It's time for us to make our bets. It's time for us to make our listeners money. So far in the playoffs, Drew had the best week last week, going 4-1 with his bets. 4-1!
Yes, sir!
Good week for you. 2-3 for me and Diggity. Drew leading the overall contest right now with 6 wins under his belt. We'll be making 2 bets on the games, or I should say 1 bet for each game and then a teaser at the end of it. 3 bets in total, and then we'll break down the fantasy challenge that Drew is also kicking our asses in. It's tough. Dangles and I have almost no shot of winning that one.
The good news is I have Patrick Mahomes on double points this week and Derrick Henry times three.
I went and looked at my roster to make updates, cross off the guys that are out and put multipliers next to the guys that are still in. And let's just say there are a lot of struck through names.
Trouble. Trouble indeed. But let's start breaking down these games. I want to start off with the AFC Championship game. It's the first game of the week, and we got to make our picks in a 2-versus-6 matchup. Dangles, what do we got on Sunday afternoon?
Sunday afternoon. Let's get it started, gentlemen. It's the AFC Championship game. The hottest team in the NFL, the Tennessee Titans, led by the king himself, Derrick Henry, head to Arrowhead. It's going to be cold. It's going to be loud. The football is going to be like kicking a cinder block. It's going to be fun to watch at 12:05 p.m. Pacific time, 3:05 if you are on the other coast. Titans, Chiefs for the right to go to Miami.
Woo! Woo! What's the line in this game, Drew?
We have the Kansas City Chiefs -7.5 and a total 53.
Okay. Interesting game. Big spread. 7.5 spreads in both of these games. I think they're going to be closer than the spreads are.
That dreaded hook.
I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited for this game. King Henry, man. We talked about it with Ike. King Henry, he picks the Titans to win this game straight up. It's going to be interesting. Can they stop Derrick Henry? What Derrick Henry has done these past three games has never been done in the history of the NFL. Let me say that again. It has never been done in the history of the NFL. And it's not like the first time the new running league, this NFL, where these running stats have never been, they're ballooned compared to eras of the past. They've been running the ball since they invented the game, and Derrick Henry is doing stuff never seen before. How do you stop him?
That's a great question, Tony. Nobody's been able to figure it out so far. The Ravens couldn't figure it out. The Patriots couldn't figure it out. This guy's been running over every single person he's played against. And, hey, Chris Jones, questionable to play this game. Yep. He's, arguably your biggest guy. He's a pass rusher, but he's still a huge body up the middle. He can play, a couple different positions on that defensive line, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be in this game. So already you're missing, a big piece of that defense. It's going to be difficult to bring him down, but I think that's the name of the game. Ryan Tannehill has totaled 160 yards passing in his last couple of games. Now, he hadn't needed to do much because Derrick Henry's done most for him, but I mean, if they can shut down Derrick Henry and stop him from getting past the line of scrimmage, once he's past the line of scrimmage, all bets are off. If you can tackle him behind the line of scrimmage, get tackles for loss, I think that will help them in the long run. And then it's going to be on Ryan Tannehill to win it with his arm. And I'm not sure that he can put up the numbers that he's going to need to beat this Chiefs offense.
Titans, guys, Road Warriors, courtesy of our friend RJ Bell, only the third team in 20 years to play four straight road games, with the last three being the playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
Last two teams to do it, the 2014 49ers, the 2006 Panthers, both were unsuccessful in covering the spread.
Ooh, good stat out of you. King Henry, though,
what a monster.
When it comes down to running backs, they always talk about the tread on the tires, okay? He's a young guy, but at the end of the season, you start to get tired, stuff starts to wear on you. So how do you make it so your best player on your team is healthy for the playoffs? You got to use him to get the wins in the regular season to get to the playoffs, but how do you make it so you have a fresh and healthy running back in the postseason? This is what Mike Vrabel did this season. It boggled my mind when I was trying to look up these stats. In the first six games, Derrick Henry only went over 20 carries once.
Mm-hmm.
And on the season, the first 15 games, he only went over 20 carries five times out of those 15 games. The last three games, his carries were 32, 34, and 30. Mm. So when you look at those carries at the beginning of the season, you might say, hey, it's 1st and 10 in a week 5 game against Oakland. Why isn't Derrick Henry getting this ball? They are saving him tread on the tires so they can give him the ball over 30 times in those three playoff games. And he's averaged, at worst, that New England game was his worst average, and that was still 5.35 yards a carry in that game. Unbelievable what they're doing. I think they got to hand the rock to him at least 30 times again to win this game. The question is, Tennessee scores on 10-minute drives.
Yes.
Kansas City scores on 2-minute drives. That's going to be the question of the game. Can they keep up with red-hot Pat Mahomes? I don't know.
Well, obviously we saw what happened on Sunday. And the Chiefs, man, we don't have to talk about the Texans' utter collapse and Bill O'Brien and all that stuff.
What an idiot.
But still, it was like watching a bad high school football game when, the defense just had zero chance of stopping the offense. And this is the NFL playoffs, guys. Like, that was insane. Obviously, Kelce, a monster. Damien Williams, I think, really underrated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's awesome. And they have speed on the outside with obviously Tyreek Hill and Hardman. So I'm really curious this week to look at the start of how Kansas City is going to play. Mm. Clearly, you think they'd be on high alert, being down 24-0, coming off a bye.
Yep.
I would think they will be playing at their optimum level to start this game. And like you said, Tony, with the ground and pound attack of the Titans, I'm curious to see how this game is going to start, because I think we know how it's going to end. It's going to end with Derrick Henry getting the ball.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You mentioned them going up by, you know, the Texans going up by a lot on the Chiefs. I don't think that things are going to shake out the same way if that happens again in this game. Tennessee is not a team. If they can get out 24, which I can absolutely see Derrick Henry just running roughshod over that defense in the first half if they aren't ready for him. You go up, you go down 24-0 against the Chiefs. This Titans defense is good enough to keep you out of the game, whereas I don't think the Texans defense was or is good enough to keep a team like that out of
the
game.
With you.
And this is, again, we talked about it with Ike. We've talked about it before. Nobody wants to play this team right now. And I think that has to contribute to it too. Like, psychologically, you hear the coach speak, you hear the guys in the locker room, but somehow on a mental level, you have to be thinking about going into this, that between Henry and Tannehill and the way that defense has been playing, they're you know, there's a boogeyman sort of thing with these guys right
what
now.
What did Ike say?
Something about boogeymen.
What did I say? Stopping the run is a need to, and getting to the quarterbacks a want to.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Because, again, that's just willpower and competitiveness.
Yep.
And, like, we've talked about this show numerous times. You got 6'3", 240 running downhill at you. That's a hell of a load.
Scary, especially in the fourth quarter after you've been beaten up and bruised by him for three straight quarters. It's
going
to be interesting to see how it plays out. Let's make our bets in this game before we move on to my Packers in the NFC Championship game. I will say, though, what impressed me the most last week about that Kansas City team is the crowd. Because if you watch that Tennessee-Baltimore game, Baltimore had chances to come back and win that game, and that crowd was dead. That crowd was gone. That crowd was a piece of shit. Sorry, Mrs. Crookston. It was an awful... I would be so ashamed if I was a Baltimore Ravens fan hearing the crickets in that stadium when Lamar Jackson and the team needed you. Arrowhead never gave up. Never gave up. Even when they were down 24-0, that Arrowhead team was cheering for every first down, every catch, every play. I am rooting for this Kansas City Chiefs team. I think they win this game. I've bet against the Titans all playoffs, and I'm going to do it again. I'm taking Kansas City -7.5. I think Pat Mahomes scored too many points. I think Ryan Tannehill, as good as he's played, he's not going to be able to do enough. Derrick Henry will not have the opportunity to take those 10-minute drives. Kansas City wins -7.5. That's my pick. Dangles.
My bet for this game is the Tennessee Titans to score over 2.5 touchdowns. I think that's an easy bet. I think it's Derrick Henry can do that by himself. That should hit no problem. Tannehill, for all the few yards that he's thrown, has been efficient in the red zone. He's been throwing touchdowns. The way this team has been playing, I am more than confident that 2.5 touchdowns is an easy bar for this Tennessee Titans team to hit.
Okay, I like it. It's off the board, but I like it. Drew, what do you got?
Plus money.
Tony, listen, I like that bet. I came here actually...
You like the Kansas City bet?
-7.5. I came here prepared to back up the Brinks track. I'm not going to lie. My new friend, Ike Taylor, what an interview.
Uh-huh.
He kind of scared me off. Uh-huh. He kind of gave me a little wishy-washy.
Yep.
So I'm going to do what I did last week that didn't work out for me because we got down 24-0 on the side.
Yeah.
I am going to bet Kansas City -4 in the first half.
Interesting.
Before the Henry train starts to take... it's hold in the second half.
Interesting.
I just believe, given their terrible start last week, I think they are going to be very focused with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and I think they come out hot. And Tennessee, again, they kind of silenced in New England, and they took the crowd right away at Baltimore.
Yep.
I think Arrowhead's going to be pumping. I like Kansas City -4 in the first half.
I don't know if I agree with that, Dangles.
If I can offer an auxiliary bet, I just saw this now, and I think it's awesome. Longest touchdown yardage in the game, over 43.5 yards. That's money in the bank.
Oh, that's a great one.
Easy. That is easy.
What's that off of?
Oddshark.
Oddshark
has -115 on over-under 43.5. I take the over on that without question.
You have so many players in Kansas City, and Derrick Henry. Henry's been shown to bust one, too. I mean, the A.J. Brown touchdown was an unbelievable strike by Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, 43.5 is not that long for either
nice.
Of these two teams.
Drew, I have to say, on your bet, man, I think it's the opposite. I think it's a close game in the first half, and Kansas City opens it up in the second half, but only time will tell. But let's move on now to the NFC Championship. My birthday week, the Packers did it. They gave me the best birthday present I could ask for, a victory. victory against Seattle. I know this Packers team. You can listen to what I said about it last week, and I predicted everything correctly on that game. Not talking about gambles, but talking about how the game was going to be played. Green Bay had the best first half of football they've played all season, went up 21-3. Russell Wilson came back. Didn't matter to him. He made it a game at the end, and thankfully we got a sack. Preston Smith. You're one of my favorite players on the team now. You got a great sack, great timing, and it was a great way to win that game. Now it's San Fran. Dangles, what do we have for the NFC Championship?
All right, here we go. Let's head west to Santa Clara again, Levi's Stadium. It's the Green Bay Packers, 6-2 on the road this season. They head to San Francisco to take on the 49ers, 6-2 at home. The last time these two teams met on Monday Night Football, the Niners absolutely walloped you guys with a kendo, 37-8 in that game. Not good. You're going to have to come back out there, and Rodgers couldn't figure it out. Aaron Jones couldn't figure it out. The line on this game is 7.5 points in favor of the 49ers. Your total, gentlemen, I have 45.
Interesting. Interesting. Green Bay. I mean, out of these four teams, I think Green Bay is the nation's four seed. Am I right? The way they're being treated?
Yeah. I would think so. I think there are a lot of people who are probably down on the Titans, though, who think this is going to have to sputter out for them. But for all intents and purposes, I think we could say that.
I haven't heard a lot of people down on these Titans. I've heard that it's going to be a game. But San Fran seems to be the nation's pick to win this game. But it's Aaron Rodgers, man. I know he hasn't played his best football. He didn't even play extremely well in the Seattle game. But three huge third down plays on that final drive. The last one of Jimmy Graham. Rodgers gets it done. And I am nervous, as always. I'm going to be nervous. You guys saw me firsthand watching that Seattle game, but I am happy to be here. This is a first-year head coach, and he's 14-3 in the NFC Championship game. Nerves aside, I am very happy and confident about this game. I think they're going to show up. I don't think it's going to be the repeat of the regular season. Drew, what are you looking at in this matchup?
Ooh, well, we talked to our friend Aaron Pont. I'm just so curious about literally – I'm going to make it more psychological than X's and O's, right? Aaron Rodgers – he's a son of a bitch. We know that. Competitive as hell. But I really think of all players, I think it fucking matters to him that the Niners passed him. I mean, you talk to him draft day, it's obviously kind of a funny joke at this point. I think it matters to him.
Always.
And you can say what you want about the regular season matchup and him laying an egg against the Chargers in California. He's going back to a California kid, going back to a team that he rooted for, right?
Yep.
As a kid.
Yep.
And
played
again,
college up there,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, Cal Berkeley and Chico, JUCO, all that stuff. Man, I think the matchup is just is Aaron Rodgers have something left in the tank where he can just will a team to win? Can he just take a team under his belt that's clearly, I think we'd all agree, I mean, the Lions says so, they're inferior talent-wise, probably a little out-coached based on just, you know, what we see from Shanahan and LaFleur. I think we'll know quickly. I think we're going to know quickly if this is going to get out of hand or if they're overmatched or if Rodgers just has that dog in him similar to that iconic Cowboys playoff win he had. But if you remember, after that iconic play, I'm sure you remember, after that iconic Cowboys win, what's he do? He gets destroyed in the NFC Championship to the Falcons.
Yep.
I don't know. It sounds, again, a little vanilla. I think it's just Aaron Rodgers' ability to compete at the highest level and to get his team to lead his team into battle. If there's a chance for him to win the game in the fourth quarter, I would not want to be San Francisco.
It's going to be interesting. Dangles, before I go, what's your point on this game? What's your key matchup you're looking at?
Man, I think, you know, it's obviously got to be George Kittle, assuming he plays. He didn't practice on Wednesday when we're recording this. Obviously, if you're going to go and make your bets and you're listening to this on the weekend, be sure to check not only the lines that have updated, but injury reports to make sure you know who is playing and who is not. But, you know, how do you stop a guy who, you know, who's built like a linebacker and runs like a wide receiver? And, of course, we talked about his, you know, his impact in the run game, whether they use him or not. You know, I think again, you know, you have to look at the defensive line for San Francisco getting after Aaron Rodgers is a big matchup. But more importantly, I think Aaron Rodgers, like you said, he has to will this team to a victory here. Yep. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I will say, though, that, you know, there'll be a test for the Niners offensive line against the Smith brothers, Preston and Zadarius, who are just absolute freaks of nature and have been torturing quarterbacks throughout this playoffs.
They're good.
They've been very good. The secondary has been very good. Kenny Clark's a little banged up. Hopefully he plays for you guys. But this is a coin toss game for me. I don't think it's as big of a margin between these two teams as a lot of people think.
Well, let me go first with our bets because it's kind of obvious where I'm going as a Packers fan, but I want to bring up 3 points. The first one being, you just mentioned it, the Smith brothers, Za'Darius and Preston Smith. Amazing free agent signings by this team that doesn't like to spend money in free agency. I couldn't be happy with the outcome because in the regular season, they both had 2 sacks against Seattle in the playoffs, but in the regular season, Za'Darius had 12.5 sacks, Preston Smith had 12 sacks. Together, that's 24.5, and together, in the history of the Green Bay Packers, that is the most sacks by any duo that they've ever had. So goodness gracious, that's good money spent. And they're going to continue to do it against Jimmy G, because you watch that game against Seattle. They pressured Russell Wilson a lot, but Russell Wilson was magic. Yeah. Making plays out of nowhere, escaping the pocket. Jimmy G cannot do that. The thing that's going to kill us, though, with Jimmy G is if you watch their game against Minnesota, and I thought Minnesota would take this away because they have the best coverage linebackers in the game and they have a hell of a safety in that middle of the field, too, but Jimmy G does not throw to the sidelines very well. No. They don't even look to the sidelines. Every one of their plays is either a dump off to the running back in the middle, deep middle, or right in the 10-yard line there with George Kittle.
Yep.
Middle of the field is where they make their magic. And, guys, the weakness of my team is the middle of the field. Blake Martinez, great run stuffer, great tackler, is not good in coverage, and Tremont Williams is our slot corner right now.
All your linebackers are pass rushers. You don't really have any of those guys who can drop back in zone.
Tremont Williams is not able to keep up with the speed that San Fran has in that middle of the field. I am very worried about Jimmy G making those quick throws over the middle, so we need Za'Darius and Preston to get pressure on him and take that away. I'm worried that that key matchup will not go in my favor. But what gives me hope, in the history of Aaron Rodgers versus Richard Sherman, in the history of that matchup, Aaron Rodgers has never tested Richard Sherman. And usually quarterbacks don't. They usually stay away from his side of the field. They usually throw away from him. He usually covers the best receiver, blankets him, takes him out of the game. Richard Sherman has not lost a step either. He's playing great football right now. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and it's always pissed me off that he hasn't done this, I'm Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron to be an egotistical maniac. He thinks he's the best arm to ever play football. I would test Richard Sherman early and often because I think my arm can beat him, and I want to see that on Sunday. I think you have to get Devontae Adams going. He's the best player on your squad. He's going to be covered by Richard Sherman. I think Aaron needs to test him and beat him often. Interested to see if they attack him and when they do.
Sherm's not a guy you're going to beat by outthinking him, out-chessing him. He is a dude who, he's not the fastest guy on the field, but he can play you press, he can play you in man, he can play zone with the best of them. It's really going to be someone like an athletically thing, like Devontae Adams, and you need to talk about him stepping up a lot of the time. This is going to be where he's going to have to show up. We talked about Chad Johnson crying at his footwork at the beginning of this season, right?
Yep.
He's going to have a tear-inducing for Chad Ochocinco matchup in order to beat Sherman this
Excited.
One. That's what it's going to have to come down
Excited.
To. You're not going to beat this guy by out-chessing him. You have to out-physical him. You have to be faster, bigger, and stronger so that he just physically can't cover you.
We're not going to win this game throwing to Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. We're not. We need Devontae Adams, and we need to attack Richard Sherman. Going to be a hell of a game, guys. I know I'm going Green Bay plus 7.5. I've been riding them all year, and they've been making me money, and they've been making you money listening to this show. Dangles, my friend, where are you going on this game?
You know, I was actually looking at the total, and I think I kind of like the total in this game. I'm going to go with the over 45 in this game. The last time these two teams played, the point total was 45.
Oh.
So I'm going to go
Green
ahead.
Bay didn't show up.
And Green Bay didn't show up. I'm going to bet that they do show up this time around. Not to say that San Fran won't, but I think there are a lot of points in this game. And since I had an auxiliary bet last time, I'm going to do one again. Aaron Jones to score, period, is plus 115. He's been a touchdown machine this year. I'm absolutely betting that.
They're going to need to get him going to win. Drew, what do you got for this
Dangles,
game, my man?
Dangles, what do you have the total at?
45.
I have it at 45.5. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to crossfire here with you, Dangles. I also like the total. I'm going to go under the total here at 45.5 for the simple reason of this.
I'll take it at 45.5 too. That's fine.
For
the sake of betting, we should be on the same line.
Very good, very good, very good. The half point matters, trust me, because 24-21 is a pretty common common outcome. But this is my thinking. Similar to my handicap of the Ravens-Titans game that went under, I do think San Francisco long drives. Green Bay, not necessarily the most quick strike offense in the world. I think Rodgers knows the best defense that he has is going to be when the ball is in his hands and not want to give that ball back. I think there's a lot of third and shorts. I think there's a lot of conversions. I just think it's ball control, ball control, ball control.
Yeah.
That clock's winding. So give me the under 45.5.
I'm leaning under as well, Dangle. Sorry to say that. For my teaser. for my teaser. I didn't want to go too crazy with this. I feel really confident in my pick, so I'm just taking them again, taking a two-team 6.5 teaser. Kansas City down to -1, Green Bay up to +14. That's my teaser for the week. Haven't hit one yet. Hopefully I hit this one, because if Green Bay loses by more than 14, I might not show up next week. Drew, what do you got for your teaser?
Tony, say yours again, please.
KC -1, Green Bay +14. I think that means he agrees with me.
The scissor lift.
Could you even think that Schaefer the Sharp and Tony Squares have the same teaser?
I could not.
We do. Simple math here for me, guys. I know for the sake of the contest, we have to do 6.5. I would almost be tempted to buy it at -130 to get that extra half at 14.5, -0.5. I think that might be a little better play.
Yep.
Here's my thinking, guys. I just don't think, especially the last time since Aaron Rodgers played in an NFC Championship game and he got embarrassed and he got blown out and he's kind of in the twilight of his career, I just don't think he's going to get embarrassed by a team that passed him to not be the number one pick. Now, I just don't see the Packers winning. That 7.5 is a tough number for me. It's really tough. That's why I didn't pick a side.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's going to get embarrassed. And my Kansas City Chiefs, so I have a +450 ticket for the AFC champs before the year started, baby.
Great pick.
They are going to the Super Bowl. No doubt. King Henry, he's going to take a bow at the throne on Sunday, boys. I just think his body has got to break down. I mean, I know he's an avatar. I know he's a freak. But I think Kansas City is going to the Super Bowl, and I just do not think Aaron Rodgers is getting blown out. Back of the Brinks truck, that is Schaefer the Sharp's best bet, 2-0 in the playoffs, baby.
That's the return of Rodgers and a regicide by Kansas City. Dangles, what do you got?
All right, guys, my teaser this weekend is I haven't been winning these either, so I'm just going to throw darts at a board here. I've got Tennessee +14 and San Fran -1.
So you're going the opposite of us?
I am going the opposite of you guys. I think Tennessee definitely covers that spread. I don't know if they're going to win, but I think that game's closer than people think. And same thing with the San Fran game. I think they ultimately get out, but it's a close one.
Well, here's the beauty of that, guys. No, here's the beauty of that, guys. With a two-game slate and a two-team teaser, all of us can be winners.
Let's hope that doesn't happen, because I want Green Bay in the Super Bowl. If Green Bay makes this, I'm not even going to talk about it.
That's true.
I'm not even going to talk about it. That's it. That's us breaking down these games. Before we go, we have to recap the fantasy challenge, and we still get to draft one more player for the final run here. Drew, killing it. Drew, absolutely killing it. He has almost 300 points, 293.08. Helps when you have Derrick Henry and Tyler Lockett going crazy. Dangles has 100.
Mahomes only had 48 last time.
196.7, and I'm far behind with 160.52. Players remaining. Drew has Mahomes at 2x the points. He also has Raheem Mostert finally getting a 2x number, and Derrick Henry getting a triple. 3x number. I have Davante Adams, George Kittle, Travis Kelce getting 2x numbers. Dangles has Aaron Jones, Tyreek Hill, and the 49ers defense getting double the points. Same thing as last time. You get to take a free agent of a team you don't already have. That means Drew's going to be taking a Packer right now. Dangles and I will be taking Titans. Dangles will be going before I do. Drew, who do you got?
Well, I'm assuming I can't take a quarterback because I already have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, thanks, dickhead.
how ironic would it be if I tried taking Aaron Rodgers? And, of course, because Devontae is off the board, as is Aaron Jones.
Yep.
I want to take my boy Lazard.
Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
Alan Lazard.
I'm not going to need it anyway, but I'll take my boy Alan
not
Lazard.
Not going to need it anyway. I'm so far ahead.
Jamal Williams averages about the same number of snaps as Aaron Jones, and he gets goal and pass opportunities.
We were
so
together at the bar. He got 2 carries last week, bro. He's not
talk
playing
about carries.
I don't think either of you were choosing the right person. I think the player to get fantasy-wise in this game that hasn't already been taken is our kicker. I think it's going to be a field goal game, and the under is going to hit. Dangles, what's your pick?
I got to go with Ryan Tannehill. I need a quarterback. Got to take him.
Oh, my hands are in the air.
There you go.
My hands are in the air.
You can have A.J. Brown.
I'm taking the only threat that they have.
Is
A.J.
Brown.
A.J. Brown, come to me. Not that you're going to do too much. Ryan Tannehill hasn't thrown for over 160 yards in the 2 games he's played, but give me A.J. Brown.
I'm banking on him throwing some short touchdowns, maybe running one in. Like, that is going to happen.
Tony, I have a grievance.
What do you have, buddy?
As you know, I'm running multiple leagues of this same game that you invented, but my rules – my game.
Yep.
10 players, no kicker, defense.
Yeah, you're an idiot. Keep going.
Can I have a kicker?
Can you have a kicker?
Yeah, because I didn't know. I just blanked on the kicker. Of course I want the kicker.
You're not getting the kicker. You drafted Alan Lazard.
Fair enough.
You're stuck with Alan Lazard. That's on you. I mean, I think Lazard can actually make plays. He's a deep threat. But again, it's your own damn fault.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I was just asking.
And let's end it there. The brotherhood, as Ike Taylor said, of the Left Coast Gamblers had a hell of a conference championship show. We'll be back with a Super Bowl show. We haven't decided exactly how we're going to segment the Super Bowl show. We're going to have call-in guests. We're going to have in-studio guests. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be exciting, and hopefully my Green Bay Packers are playing next week. But again, guys, I cannot be happier to have a team in the NFC Championship. It's
yeah.
Kalu Kalei, baby. I can't wait. Dangles, you got anything to say before we head on out?
I'd love to hit my teaser this weekend for the first time in like ever. That'd be great. I think I went cold after the end of the season on all those hot parlay bets.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Drew?
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.